Let the church say amen. Amen. Church say amen again. Amen. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Amen. We welcome those of you who are coming in to the house of worship, and we thank the Lord for the powerful praise of God that have gone up here today. Give God another praise offering. Awesome choir. Awesome. To God be the glory. One of my favorites that they do, because it is wrought with such power and majesty that is worthy to our God. Also want to thank God for the fervency of prayer and give God a praise offering, Reverend Daniela Fain. Amen. So we prayed to God, we've praised God, and now I want to proclaim and preach about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. As we continue to move deeper into worship, I pray that you would understand the power of this moment. Lord, ask God to speak to you in and through the words that come forth from the preacher today. Let's stand to our feet, turning your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John. The Gospel of St. John. And I want you to turn with me to the 12th chapter and the 12th verse of the Gospel of St. John. Say amen when you've located the text. The Gospel of St. John, the fourth Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I want to start reading in verse number 12. The Bible reads as follows. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Somebody say, Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, say donkey.
Donkey.
When Jesus had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word, may edify and may sanctify God's people. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon, The Beast of Burden. The Beast of Burden. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for what has already transpired in this service here today. I thank you for Zion's songs that have been lifted up by this choir. I thank you for fervent prayer. Pray that it availeth much. Thank you, God, for the fellowship of the saints and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit in this place. I thank you, dear God, for allowing us to see one more day. And as we now open our ears to hear the things of God, the holy things of God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and cover all of us under the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do. Thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for what you're doing right now, God. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus' sweet name, we do pray that the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to say that today, usher, you may be seated, Palm Sunday is one of those days where preachers, you know, it's hard to use other material because the day is so wedded to the actual events that happened in ancient Palestine on that fateful week. Herein begins the week of Holy Week and the plethora of emotions that go along with Holy Week. It is such filled with emotionality that we call it the Passion of Christ. It is the passion of this week that strikes us and blows us away because of Jesus. It is the time in which we see Jesus at his most human, although he is fully human and fully divine. It is the passion of having friends who you thought were friends betray you. It is the passion of having folk who will celebrate you on Sunday, but crucify you on Friday. It is the passion and the emotionality, the emotional roller coaster ride of this week that dubs it and names it the Passion Week, the Holy Week, the week in which Jesus walks down the Via Dolorosa towards the Calvary, the cross at Calvary. And so hence, preachers, right, tell this story year in and year out. And some of us struggle with always wanting to keep the story fresh and keep it new and keep it vital and keep it from becoming stale. And so, because never should we think that this story should ever tire of being told. For without Palm Sunday, there would be no Crucifixion Friday. And without Crucifixion Friday, there would be no Resurrection Sunday. And so we must never forget the story that is told in all four of the Gospels. There's some stories of Jesus that are only told in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, similar. That's why they call them Synoptic. The material is the same. Over 70% of the book, the material in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are similar. That's why they're called Synoptic, for synonymous or the similar stories. And yet John's Gospel is different because it is topical and not chronological. And yet there are a few stories in Jesus' narrative that are told in all four of the Gospels. And this is one. This story of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem is told in Matthew. It is told in Mark. It is told in Luke. And it is told in John. And yet, what is interesting is the perspective that each of the men bring to the story is slightly different. Matthew brings the eye of a tax collector to the story, to the narrative, not just Palm Sunday, but to all of Jesus' ministries. Luke, who we believe was a physical doctor, brings the story of a physician, or at least a doctor. There's some who challenged the narrative that Luke was a medical doctor, but that he was of great education. There is no doubt. There is a story of Mark, who brings kind of the expediency of Jesus's narrative, does not deal with the infancy narratives of how he was born, where he was born. It says straightway he was led up into the wilderness or was tempted by the devil. Each man brings the story of their narrative. John, the great disciple whom we believe Jesus loved, is absolutely convinced that above everything else, I need to tell the story that Jesus was God. Jesus was God incarnate. Jesus was God among us. That's why his story starts with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So each man brings a different narrative, a different angle, a different perspective to the story. We all bring a different perspective to the story. What you hear is filtered through your experiences in life and what you're going through right now. And yet what is fascinating to me is, it's not just the human perspective of the different angles of the story, but it's also the perspective of the participants in the story. And so today, I don't want to just tell the Palm Sunday story through Jesus' eyes of what he saw men and women shouting Hosanna as he came into the city of Jerusalem. I don't want to just tell the story of the crowd, the throngs of people that surrounded and circumvented Jesus as they said, we love you because we believe you're our deliverer. Bless the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, which is similar to shouting hallelujah. We praise you, God. Hosanna is an Aramaic word that has very similar meanings. And so yes, they were celebrating Jesus, but remember, the same folk who celebrate you on Sunday are the same folk who may crucify you on Friday. So I dare not tell you the story of the narrative through the story, the lies, the lens of the throngs of people. Today I want to tell you the story through the eyes of the donkey. Hence I'm dressed in not just my African attire, but the brown color kind of gives the image, if you would, of the donkey that's on the screen, because I want you to understand that this, when we talk about beast of burden, this is the foremost leading beast of burden. The ox, yes, another beast of burden. The camel, yes, another beast of burden. But this, the donkey holds a unique perspective in world history as well as in biblical narrative of being one of those beasts of burden through which we get a unique perspective of the revelation power of God's word, both in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And so I want to convert myself from being Pastor Armstrong to being the donkey that carried Jesus into the city of Jerusalem on that wonderful day in which everybody cried out, Hosanna. You can call me donkey, you can call me mule, just don't call me Jack. Help your neighbor, say, we'll get that when you get home later. The donkey has a unique perspective, doesn't he? But it's the donkey that is carrying its most precious cargo on its back. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is being ushered down this narrative of the last days of his life. And Jesus, who does nothing by happenstance, nothing by circumstance, does everything by divine appointment, for after all, he is God all by God's self. And so I want to talk about that day through the lens of the donkey. For you see, a lot of folk misunderstand me, for I am one of the most misunderstood animals on the face of the planet. I am one of the most numerous. By some scientists count, I'm 40 million and growing. One of the few animals that is not facing extinction in the world because of man's consumption of resources and animals. But you see, every society needs a beast of burden. And so I have been then dubbed as that beast of burden. What is interesting, when you look at the facts, you will understand that not only am I growing in population and size, but 90% of the time in which you will find one of me, donkeys, you will find me in a country that is third world, quote unquote, or developing, not one of the quote unquote first world countries or developed countries. You won't find an overabundance of donkeys in the United States of America. You won't find an overabundance of donkeys in Europe and France and Japan and China. Yet you will find abundance of donkeys in places where they have not built high technologically advanced railway systems or don't have an overabundance of cars like they do in America. You will find donkeys in places where people are struggling to make ends meet. Usually those who are less than the average poverty rate in socioeconomic status in some countries, they rely on beasts of burdens like me to carry their cargo. There is no, honey, pack up the sedan, pack up the wagon, pack up the navigator. No, it's, honey, pack up the donkey, for we're going to see mother today. Pack up the donkey, or put the jugs of water on the donkey. And wife, I need you to walk 15 miles to get water for the house so we can scrub our clothes and have something to drink. Pack up the beast of burden. A lot of us don't appreciate how I am appreciated in developing third world countries. And yet in my story, folk don't really appreciate even my name. For you see, my official name, dubbed by biological scientists and by those who have gotten degrees in veterinary medicine, is not just donkey. That's the common name. My official trinomial name is Equius Africanus Asinus. Equius, for the Latin phrase for equine, which has relationship to horse. Africanus, because it is believed that my origins came from Eastern Africa, Somalia, and on the Eastern Horn of Africa, before the crossbreeding of my breed began to span and expand into Mesopotamia and other parts of the Middle East. Africanus, Equius, Africanus, Asinus. And that last part has to do with the kind of animal that I am. And so some have shortened my name from the equus and the africanus just to focus on the asinus. And so the male version of me, the male donkeys, actually called Jack. Some of you all didn't know that, did you? The other female version of my kind is called a Jenny or a Jenna. So a female donkey is Jenna. Male donkey is Jack. If you put on the asinus, you see how they shorten it to Jack Asinus.
Uh-huh. That's right, Pastor. Make that plain. Uh-huh.
I'm just telling you what Latin is. And so it is that my official name, if you crossbreed a male version of me, a jack, a male donkey, with a female horse, a mare, you will then get a henny. If you crossbreed me, you will get a mule, excuse me. If you crossbreed a female version of me, a jetta with a male horse, a stallion, you will get a henny. If you crossbreed me with a zebra, you will get a zinny. Seriously, zinny. And so the ability to crossbreed with other equine animals is there. And yet the donkey, the jack, the male version of me, the jetta, the jenny, the female version of me, it, whichever way you cross it, we are still considered beasts of burdens. And what is fascinating about what you find in scripture, in the fact, what does a beast of burden do? A beast of burden carries the burdens of other people. It carries the burdens of other individuals. I am usually packed so high with other folks' belongings and things that folk often take for granted that they could not get from hither to yonder if they did not have a beast of burden. Too many of you take me for granted. Too many of you overlook my significance. But I'm here to tell you, it's all right to pack your stuff on me, because only the strong can bear the concerns of the weak. The beast of burden. And so it is then that I am often taken for granted, overlooked for my significance. And yet in the Bible, you will find various iterations and stories in which I come to be a significant player in the annals of scripture. You go back to Genesis chapter 22, you'll find the story of Balaam, B-A-L-A-A-M, Balaam, Balaam's donkey, Balaam's, there are other versions of the name of the title. I dare not use it for their children among us, but let's simply say Balaam's donkey. And so Balaam's donkey began to speak. You know that is significant, but not so much for the fact that I had this conversation with Balaam and the conversation that was going on, but because it is a reminder that God only made two animals speak in scripture. The raven spoke as well as the donkey. And I'm just here to tell you that if God can make a donkey speak, he can make anything happen in your life. I'm just a reminder that God is a way maker, a burden bearer, a heavy load sharer, a mountain mover. He can fight your battles. He can make the improbable probable, the impossible possible. I need you to hold on and believe that God can do everything but fail. Not only will you find me reference in Genesis chapter 22, you also find me reference in 1 Samuel chapter 25, in which Abigail, it is referenced that Abigail got off of her donkey and began to attend to the matters at hand. Some believe that's where we get the phrase, get off of your donkey, I don't know what word you were thinking about, and get to moving. Talk about that later at home as well. I'm also referenced, some believe I am referenced in the story of the Good Samaritan in Matthew chapter 10, in which the Samaritan man who wasn't supposed to help the man that was beaten, puts the man that was beaten after the folk who were supposed to help him, step right by him. And the man, the Good Samaritan, put the man on his animal, it says. But I can use my sanctified imagination that that story really was referencing one of me who carried the man to the inn, and then he was there to get assistance until the Good Samaritan came back and took care of the final bill and everything else that the man may have had need of. And so my point is, I am referenced in many stories throughout the biblical narrative, but this story is the greatest of them all. For you see, this story is told in Matthew, but in Matthew I share the limelight with a cult. If you look at the story in Matthew, it talks about Jesus sending his disciples into the city to unleash a cult as well as a donkey. In Mark's version of the story, I don't even appear in the story. It simply says that Jesus sent his disciples in and they got a colt and untied the colt. Some may say it references the donkey, but words matter here. And in Luke's gospel, the same thing. I'm not referenced there. Like Mark's gospel, it is a colt that is untied and brought to Jesus as they shouted Hosanna and led Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. But only in John's gospel do we find that the story doesn't even mention Jesus sending his disciples into the city. Look at the text. The story only says that Jesus himself, in verse number 12, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Verse 14 says, then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, quoting out of Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, that your Messiah will come in riding on a donkey. Jesus made the quote and the prophecy of Zechariah come true. Unlike Jesus and the other gospels in which he sends his disciples, Jesus selected me all by myself. And I just stopped by to tell somebody. I know a lot of you get upset when folk don't select you. They don't bring you into the crowd. They don't bring you into the clique. They don't bring you into the sorority. They don't bring you into the fraternity. They don't bring you into the lodge. They don't bring you into this. They don't bring you into that. But it doesn't matter if they don't select you. All that matters is whether Jesus selected you. And I'm here to tell you, I was the least of the animals, but Jesus picked little old me. I wasn't supposed to be picked, but Jesus selected me. I wasn't supposed to have his hand on me, but Jesus selected me. Aren't some of y'all glad today that Jesus selected you and died for you and made a way for you and rescued you and delivered you and brought you up out of your trial and your tribulation? Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord, for selecting me. Jesus selects himself, the donkey, selects me, chooses me, and puts himself upon me. And now my most precious cargo, unlike Balaam's story in Genesis 22, unlike Abigail's story in 1 Samuel 25, unlike the Good Samaritan in Matthew chapter 10, this story, Jesus chooses the beast of burden to carry the most precious cargo, Jesus himself. Come on, somebody. I thank the Lord that God chose me on that day to carry Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. And as I got ready to carry my most precious cargo, I looked at those people who waved the palm trees and the palm branches in front of our Lord and shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I put my head down a little bit, because the fact of the matter is, I understand what it means to be on the bottom. I understand what it means to be overlooked and taken for granted. And I looked at some of those folk, and Jesus looked at some of those folk, and I'm sure he understood that the same people who were
shouting Hosanna were the same people who were going to say crucify him 5 days later. And I understood that not everybody who's on top understand what it means to be on the bottom. But because I understand what it means to be on the bottom, I looked in the faces of those individuals and I knew that some of them didn't really mean what they were saying, because all they wanted to do was be on the top. But until you've been on the bottom, you can't appreciate what it means to be on the top. Because everybody loves a winner but hates a loser. Don't mess up and slip up. Don't mess up and mess up. Don't mess up and fall down. You look around and there'll be nobody there. But I'm so grateful that Jesus understood that it was bigger than the people. Well, some of you not getting the message, y'all. If Jesus had banked his ministry on the folk that shouted, "I'm with you." If Jesus had banked his ministry on the people that were shouting, "Hosanna, I'm on your side now, Jesus. As long as you're up, I'm with you, Jesus. As long as you got it going on, I'm going to be with you, Jesus. I'm going to ride your coattails into infamy. I'm going to ride your coattails into the reality of being on top." But what they did not do was count the cost. But Jesus wanted to know, are you really with me? Or are you just saying you're with me? For you see, all I was doing was carrying my burden on that day. But I understood there were some folk who really did not appreciate what was the significance of what really was happening. I resonated with Jesus more than any other moment in my animal life. I resonated with Jesus because I understood something. I understood that the purpose was always bigger than the people. What are you talking about, preacher? What are you talking about, donkey? I'm talking about the fact that Jesus, if he had looked in the eyes of the people, could have gotten miscues and could have gotten confused. For he would have been begin to say, who's really with me and who's really not with me? But when you realize that the purpose is always bigger than the people, then you don't get caught up in the people, but you get caught up in the purpose. And because Jesus was able to look beyond the people and see the purpose, he was able to go on into Jerusalem. For when you look in the eyes of the people, you might give up the fight. When you look in the eyes of the people, you might get scared. When you look in the eyes of the people, you might get confused. But as long as you keep your eyes on the purpose, come on somebody. I had but one purpose that day. Jesus had but one purpose: to carry Jesus to his next destination. And I was proud to be the person, the animal that carried Jesus to his next destination. And I said to myself, my name doesn't have to be up in lights. My name doesn't have to get all the accolades. All I had to do was fulfill my purpose. And my purpose at that moment was to carry Jesus from this point to the next. You don't have to celebrate me. In point of fact, if I never told my story, Jesus knew that I carried him on his purpose. And if nobody else said thank you, donkey, I know Jesus appreciated what I did. Come on, somebody. If nobody else says thank you for what you do, if nobody else puts your name on the program, if nobody else puts your name up on the bulletin board, if nobody else gives you a card and some flowers, understand that God is going to say, well done. Come on, somebody. I don't need the accolades and the affirmation. For you see, I'm happy just carrying my burden. But on this day, it wasn't a burden. I was carrying Jesus, the bright and morning star. I was carrying Jesus, Mary's baby. Y'all not getting the message? I was carrying Jesus, Ezekiel's wheel within the middle of a wheel. I was carrying Jesus, the rose of Sharon. I was carrying Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. I was carrying Jesus. And because I had Jesus on me. I was proud to hold my donkey head up high and say, you can talk about me, but on this day, I've got the master on my back. On this day, I've got Jesus on my side. On this day. I was carrying Jesus. And if Jesus never chooses me again, he's already blessed me enough. I just stopped by as the least appreciated of all the beast of burdens. I just stopped by as the one folk take for granted. I just stopped by as the last one. But how many of you know that the first shall be last and the last shall be first? How many of you know what goes around will come back around? How many of you know that they may think they're getting away with it, but sooner rather than later, God's going to bless you. Sooner rather than later, God's going to bring you out of the lion's den. Sooner rather than later, God's going to step into your furnace. Come on, somebody. God has not forgotten about you. Sooner rather than later. If Jesus never chooses me again, he's already given me the greatest honor I ever could have imagined, carrying him into the city of Jerusalem. And I just stopped by to tell some of you all, stop blaming God for what you don't have and look at the fact that he's already blessed you enough. If he doesn't bless you another time, he's already blessed you enough. If he doesn't open up another door, he's already opened enough for you. If he doesn't build another bridge, he's already built enough bridges. If he doesn't give you another piece of clothing, he's already been food on your table, clothes on your back. I need somebody to say, thank you, Lord. And so it was that I carried Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. I bless the Lord for what he allowed me to do. And when I got to my destination, Jesus was unloaded from this beast of burden. And I went on about my way. Nobody has ever heard of what happened to the donkey that carried the Lord. But it doesn't matter, because it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. Come on, somebody. If the Lord doesn't, if people never call your name again, you just make sure it's all about Jesus and not about you. The story goes on, but we know how the story ended. Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and sooner rather than later, folk began to turn their backs on him. Judas dipped his hand in the same dish in which Jesus was eating, and he said, somebody's going to betray me. Peter said, I'll never deny you, Jesus. But three times, Peter denied Jesus. Those disciples who were there as they hung Jesus on the cross, they ran away and disguised themselves. But I'm so grateful that Jesus understood that the purpose was always bigger than the people. If everybody turns their back on you, remember your purpose. Now, let me rush on to the end, because even though I'm not the star of the story, I'm just one of the supporting cast members. The story goes on to say, in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse number 11. Look in your Bible, but if you didn't look at it, I put it up on the screen for you. It says that in the last days that Jesus says, I saw heaven. John says, I saw heaven opened up. And behold, a white horse. It wasn't the donkey, but as long as Jesus got to where he needed to get, it doesn't matter who got him there. Because in the end times, he's going to come back again. And this time, he's not going to be riding a beast of burden, but he's going to be riding a white horse. Come on, somebody. A white stallion. the first animal, me, I was the beast of burden. I was to symbolize his lowliness, his humility, his willingness to step out of heaven, to come down to earth. I was the beast of burden. But when he comes back again, he's going to be arrayed in his majesty. He's going to have his glory. He's going to have the angels of heaven. And he's going to be riding a white horse full of majesty and power. Is anybody looking for Jesus?
Yeah.
Now. Some folk may misunderstand the comparison. They may say, well, clearly the animal, the donkey, was worthless, and the donkey symbolized lowliness and all of that. And that's true. And the stallion, the white stallion on which Jesus will ride when he comes back again, symbolizes his power and his majesty and his royalty and his monarchy. And that's true. But let me let you in on a little secret. Whether he rode the donkey or whether he rode the stallion, it wasn't about what he rode. It was about who carried him. Because the fact of the matter, come on somebody, some of us get into false comparisons that they don't look like I look. They don't drive what I drive. They don't wear what I wear. They don't give like I, come on somebody. I know I'm not talking to myself. Some folk in churches get into comparison modality. I pray louder and better than he does. I'm in church more than she is. But it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about whether he rode the stallion or whether he rode the donkey. Both of us carry Jesus. It's not about how long you've been saved, how long I've been saved. It's about the fact that Jesus saves. Come on, somebody. I need somebody today to understand the power of what it means to carry Jesus. Carry him in the morning. Carry him in the noonday. Carry him in the evening. Carry Jesus when you got a lot. And carry Jesus when you don't have anything. Carry Jesus. Carry Jesus. Carry Jesus. Now, so get ready to take my leave and go back to my stable and finish my journey of being the donkey that carried Jesus. I don't want to overlook the significance of the praise. For you see, whether they really meant it or not, they still gave Jesus praise. And I just stopped by to tell somebody, anybody, about a man that can save everybody. If you just give your situation over to the Lord, even though some of them didn't mean it, they were still giving God praise. And I just want to say to somebody on today, I need somebody to shout Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Despite your situation, despite your circumstances, despite your naysayers, despite your haters, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Shout Hosanna. 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 Blessed is he. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. That comes in the name of the Lord. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And one more time for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Deacons and deaconesses and clergy, help me extend the invitation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. I don't know your situation. I don't know your circumstances. But I do know the Lord Jesus, and he can carry your burdens. I need someone to see the story through the eyes of the donkey.
Yes, sir.
And say, Lord, I want to carry you too. I want to carry you into my family. I want to carry you on to my job. I want to carry you into the doctor's office. I want to carry you into the supermarket. I want to carry you wherever I go. Because it's not about who's doing the carrying. It's about who's being carried. And so today, if you're here, you've never accepted the Lord for yourself, I need you to step out on this day and say, Lord, I surrender.
Yes, sir.
I surrender. The choir's going to sing. And as they sing, I want you to step out and give us your hand and give God your heart. If you don't have a church home, I invite you to come unite with us here at Shiloh. And if you don't know Jesus for yourself, most importantly, come on and say, Lord, on this day, I'm going to accept the Lord into my life. And as the choir sings, both invitations are extended. Come on, choir, lift up your voices and bless the Lord today.
Hallelujah. At last.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. If you're here today and
you did not heed the invitation. Church home, membership, connection to God, relationship. Those are the two things we're offering. Remember, the rest of today is not guaranteed. Tomorrow is not promised. This was not entertainment. This was the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, I pray, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that it was seed for somebody. It was convicting for others. And if you know you don't have a relationship with God, with the Father, right? It's not coincidence that God is called the Father. There's something unique, not at all to diminish the role of mother. There's something about knowing that God is Father. And so I want to say to someone here, because my spirit still senses that someone hasn't made that decision to come to Jesus today, Palm Sunday. No other time, no better time to come than now. And if you know the Holy Spirit is talking to you, I want you to step out of your seat and come on. Secondly, if you are not a part of a church and you've been bouncing. You call it visiting, but I call it bouncing.
Hallelujah.
I need someone to step out. Look at God today. Look at God today. Thank the Lord that sister heard and step out. And there may be one more, another man, another woman, another husband, another wife. And God is saying, I want you to anchor yourself in a church today. Look at God today. Look at God. Look at God today. One of our teenagers that got saved on the teen retreat. Amen, somebody. Look at God. We have another brother that's coming today. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Yeah, somebody shout, thank you, Lord. The souls are coming. There's another. There may be another. There may be another family, another woman, another husband. Husband, your wife and your family may be waiting for you to step out before they step out. So I want someone to let go of their burdens today. Put them on Jesus, for Jesus says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. I don't want you walking around with the burden. Give me the burden, Jesus says. If you know I'm talking to you, I want you to come on. Give us your hand and give God your heart. Take another minute. It doesn't take long. I'll take another minute on the left side. If there's one more on the left or here in the center. One more in the center. Come man, come woman, come boy, come girl. On the right side. In the name of Jesus. Those of you who know the Lord ought to be praying. Asking the Holy Spirit to convict somebody's heart. Loose them. Loose them now. In the name of Jesus. In the chapel, back there in the chapel. Oh, I received. And now. Look at God today. Look at God. Bless you, brother. Amen, amen. I'll take another minute. Sing choir. We're our first. Those of you who know the song, lift up your voice. And the burdens of. Oh, they rolled away. It was there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now, I am happy. Anybody happy? Put your hands together and give God a praise offering. Come on, sister. It's all right. Come on, sister. We got a few more coming. Give God a praise offering. Come on, somebody. Shout, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look at God today. Thank you, Lord. All right. Look at God today. 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 Unleash the burden. Let it go. Give it to God. Take it from me, God. It's too heavy for me to carry. I can't bear it by myself. I need you in my life. Thank you, Father. Look at God. Look at God. Come on, sister. God bless you. Look at God.
Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you both. We're to walk downstairs with him.
Wonderful. Isn't God something? Isn't God something? Isn't God something? Hallelujah. 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 The harvest. The harvest of God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Let us pray together. Father, I thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt on this Lord's Day, this Palm Sunday. Thank you that it has not been business as usual. That somebody, God, will leave here with a new relationship, a new walk, a new talk with you, God. Thank you, Lord. And I pray right now that if there be one or two more, that you would touch them, God, and say, don't leave me behind. I'm coming too. Father, convict and compel in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the ministry that you're doing in us and through us and for us. We bless your name today. And we join in the echo of old. Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed are you, God, who comes in the name of the Lord. Bless now your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us say together, amen, 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 and amen. Let's give God another praise offering in this place. You may be